The Magic Mountain by Thomas Mann, narrated by Wilfred Morgan. Foreword: The Making of the Magic Mountain. The story of Hans Castorp, which we would hear set forth, not on his own account, for in him the reader will make acquaintance with a simple-minded though pleasing young man, but for the sake of the story itself, which seems to us highly worth telling, though it must needs be borne in mind in Hans Castorp's behalf that it is his story. And not every story happens to everybody. This story, we say, belongs to the long ago, is already, so to speak, covered with historic mould, and unquestionably to be presented in the tense, best suited to a narrative out of the depth or the past. That should be no drawback to a story, but rather the reverse. Since histories must be in the past, then the more past the better, it would seem, for them in their character as histories, and for him, the teller of them, rounding wizard of times gone by. With this story, moreover, it stands as it does today with human beings, not least among them writers of tales. It is far older than its years. Its age may not be measured by length of days, nor the weight of time on its head, reckoned by the rising or setting of suns. In a word, the degree of its antiquity has no ways to do with the passage of time, in which statement the author intentionally touches upon the strange and questionable double nature of that riddling element. But we would not willfully obscure a plain matter. The exaggerated pastness of our narrative is due to its taking place before the epoch when a certain crisis shattered its way through life and consciousness and left a deep chasm behind. It takes place, or rather deliberately to avoid the present tense, it took place, and had taken place, in the long ago, in the old days, the days of the world before the Great War, in the beginning of which so much began that has scarcely yet left off beginning. Yes, it took place before that, yet not so long before. Is not the pastness of the past the profounder, the completer, the more legendary? The more immediately before the present it falls. More than that, our story has of its own nature something of the legend about it now and again. We shall tell it at length, thoroughly in detail, for when did a narrative seem too long or too short by reason of the actual time or space it took up? We do not fear being called meticulous, inclining as we do to the view that only the exhaustive can be truly interesting. Not all in a minute, then, will the narrator be finished with the story of our Hans. The 7 days of a week will not suffice, no, nor 7 months either. Best not too soon make too plain how much mortal time must pass over his head while he sits spun round in his spell. Heaven forbid it should be 7 years, and now we begin. Chapter 1. Arrival. An unassuming young man was travelling in midsummer from his native city of Hamburg to Davosplatz, in the canton of the Grissons, on a 3 weeks' visit. From Hamburg to Davos is a long journey, too long indeed for so brief a stay. It crosses all sorts of country, goes up hill and down dale, descends from the plateau of southern Germany to the shore of Lake Constance, over its bounding waves and on across marshes once thought to be bottomless. At this point, the route, which has been so far over trunk lines, gets cut up. There are stops and formalities. At Rorschach in Swiss territory, you take train again, but only as far as Landquart, a small alpine station, where you have to change. Here, after a long and windy wait in a spot devoid of charm, you mount a narrow-gauge train. And as the small but very powerful engine gets underway, there begins the thrilling part of the journey, a steep and steady climb that seems never to come to an end. For the station of Landquart lies at a relatively low altitude, but now the wild and rocky route pushes grimly onward into the Alps themselves. Hans Castorp, such was the young man's name, sat alone in his little grey-upholstered compartment with his alligator-skin handbag, a present from his uncle and guardian, Consul Tiernapel. Let us get the introductions over with at once, his travelling rug and his winter overcoat swinging on its hook. The window was down, the afternoon grew cool, and he, a tender